God made all of his creation to give. He made the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, the earth, the plants to give. He also designed his supreme creation, man, to give. But fallen man is the most reluctant giver in all of God's creation. Those are words from the American preacher John MacArthur, and I was very struck with them as I prepared this sermon, as I spent some time this week thinking about this subject of generosity. I don't think there's any preacher who digs into God's word and begins to prepare a sermon that isn't struck to the heart about that subject themselves. I hope most preachers would want to stand up in the pulpit knowing that the sermon has spoken to them before it speaks to anyone else. But I think that's particularly true of these kind of subjects that we're thinking about from the book of Proverbs and this subject of generosity in particular. And that quote, I think, sums up the challenge that God is a wonderful giver, and yet how reluctant we are, well, certainly I am, to give in return. And so this is really the subject we're looking at this lunchtime, the subject of generosity. And it's possible for when you're preparing a sermon to sort of slightly overcomplicate things. But as I've been thinking about this, the book of Proverbs and the Bible in general is actually very clear. We, if we are Christian believers, if we're the people of God, we are to be generous. It's as simple as that. Take a look down with me at this great passage from the book of Proverbs and verses 24 and 25 in particular, because they're a great example of some of the teaching in Proverbs. One person gives freely and yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. A fascinating Proverbs, but there isn't a whole lot of explanation or motivation to generosity, really, in those verses, or indeed as the book as a whole. Generosity isn't so much encouraged in the book of Proverbs as expected. Generosity, it would seem, should be a natural hallmark of the people of God. Generosity needs to be something that marks out those who are God's people. And that really shouldn't come as much of a surprise, since generosity is a reflection of the character of a generous God. That's certainly the way that the Jewish readers of Proverbs would have understood things. They would have thought to themselves, well, since our God is generous to us, he's generous in the provision of rain to make crops grow, he's generous in the provision of food to eat, he's generous above all in the salvation from slavery in Egypt and later from bringing us back from exile, so that we should reflect the character of God in lives lived in generous giving. That's really the heartbeat, the pattern of the Old Testament law. The commands and the directions to be generous and to give, to look out for the poor and the needy, are a reflection of the God who is generous and who looks out himself for the poor and the needy. God's people are to be generous. And if that call to generosity was clear to an old covenant Jew in those days, it should be even clearer to those of us who are new covenant Christians. And maybe you wouldn't yet consider yourself to be one of those people. You were looking into Christian things, and maybe you're thinking it through to yourself. But as we look at what it means to be a Christian, it certainly means to be generous, even further and far above the commands in the Old Testament. And that is because we have seen the generosity of God displayed supremely in the Lord Jesus Christ. That God the Father did not withhold his own Son, but gave himself up for us all. That Jesus the Son willingly went to death to lavish grace and goodness on us. And not only that, he has sent us his Spirit as a gift to live in us. We see a generous God, an amazingly generous God, so we respond to that generosity in generous living. That's the heartbeat of the Bible as it talks about generosity. It springs first and foremost from a generous God, not from some kind of proving ourselves, hey, look how generous I am, but through knowing how generous God is and wanting to reflect that in our actions and in our behavior. Proverbs is clear. The Bible is clear. If you want to be someone who follows God, well, be generous. And actually, the book of Proverbs guides us further. It says also, be generous out of God's generosity. So look back again at those verses, 24 and 25 in particular. Let me read them again. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. A generous person will prosper. That's a fascinating verse, isn't it? And it's a principle that the people of Israel lived by under the Old Covenant. There, the obedience of God's people was linked very closely with the prosperity of the nation, and particularly the prosperity of the land. So generosity that reflects the character of God will result in gaining more. But lack of generosity brings ruin on the land. And again, the people are told, if you stay close to me, if you follow my ways, which will naturally include generosity, well, then God says, I will provide for you, I will bring rain, your crops will grow, and you will be secure. But, God says, if you forget me and turn away from my ways, which will inevitably mean a lack of generosity, well, then I will send famine on the land. There will be drought, the crops won't grow, there won't be food to eat, and you will be insecure. So the principle that runs through the Old Testament is that idea that if you are generous, well, then there will be prosperity. Now, we cannot read these verses and apply them to ourselves in the same way. Sadly, there are Christians all around the world who are trying to do that. It's the so-called prosperity gospel. If you dip your hand into your pocket and give generously to the church, well, then God will multiply it tenfold, a hundredfold. It's a desperately sad and desperately predatory way of preaching that goes all around the world and leads to congregations who give and give and give even out of their poverty, and pastors who end up owning private jets and multi-million pound houses. I'm not here to tell you, give and you will give back so that I can go on my lovely holiday to Barbados. Though if you would like to pay for me to go to Barbados, I won't say no. Now you see, that prosperity gospel preys upon people in terms of greed, but it's a fundamentally misunderstanding of how to read the Bible. You see, as Christians, we live under a new covenant. And under this new covenant that was brought in by Jesus' death and resurrection, God's generous mercy is available to all, and it is no longer tied in with a specific people or specific nation. God has lavished us with spiritual blessings and prosperity. He's lavished that in the person of Jesus Christ, and it is that spiritual blessing that he has given to us that should be the motivation to generous living here and now. We have eternity to look forward to in a new creation with our God. That is where we're heading. And so we use what we've been given now in generosity, not because we can have wonderful big houses now, but because we have a mansion to look forward to in the future. Nevertheless, we still ought to recognize the ways in which God has been generous to us in material things. So forget about the prosperity gospel. Forget about this idea that if you give to the church or if you are generous, then God will lavish material blessings upon you. That's a sort of kind of jackpot kind of God where you put the coin in the slot, you pull the handle and you get more back. It doesn't work like that. But on the other hand, we recognize that the things that we have, the material blessings that we have here and now, do come from God's hand and are to be used with generosity. So we can't expect material blessings because we are a Christian. But when we have material wealth, we acknowledge it comes from God and it is used to be generous to others. I love the way that, Martin Luther, the church reformer, puts almost anything, but he puts this particularly well. He says this: God put fingers on our hand for the money to slide through them so that he can give us more. Whatever a person gives away, God will reimburse. It is that call to generosity, not so that we can gain, but so that we can give. God may be generous to us if we are generous to others, but that is not a way to manipulate God. It is an opportunity to be generous, more generous even than before. It's not God giving us a reward for obedience so much as trusting us to use more resources for generous living. But you know what? Material benefits are not the only blessings that come from a generous lifestyle. A 2010 paper from the Harvard Business School talks about what it calls a potential psychological universal, which is a very posh-sounding term, isn't it? And you wonder, what is going to come next? Is it going to be some profound, deep understanding of the human psyche? Well, not really. It's something that I'm sure we all recognize. And they say this: human beings around the world derive emotional benefits from using their financial resources to benefit others. That is a universal truth, that actually generosity benefits us, not necessarily in money in the bank or in our pockets, but it is a good and right thing to do because it reflects, it beats, makes our heart beat alongside the heartbeat of God. And actually, that's just the principle that's reflected here in Proverbs. Look again at verse 25. Whoever refreshes others will themselves be refreshed. You see, if you're willing to reach out in generosity to others, you'll find yourself being refreshed as well. So it's not God as a spiritual vending machine. I put my coin in and I get something back. Instead, we know and experience the spiritual benefits of being generous. So let me say to you, if you are feeling dry in your spiritual life at the moment, maybe you're sitting here today and you're thinking, you know what, I would really love God to refresh me. Well, I hope and pray he does. But here's one way that you might want to pursue that. Why not try refreshing someone else? Be generous. And I think you'll find that God will refresh you as a result. So we are to be generous. That's the heartbeat of God. It's the heartbeat through the Bible. We are to be generous out of God's generosity because he has been generous to us. Most of all, in the spiritual blessings in Christ of where we're heading, but also he's given us things here and now that we can and we should use to be generous to others. So let's put the final piece of the puzzle in place. Let's be generous at work. So we might begin to think, well, okay, if what the Bible is saying is that Christians, God's people, ought to be generous, how does that work in my workplace? When we think about generosity, we tend to think about financial giving, don't we? You hear about sermons about generosity on a Sunday in churches, usually on a finance day or a giving day or some special project, you know, building projects, and there's a sermon on generosity, and hopefully you'll be able to be generous to that. And that is a good and right thing to do. Many of us in this room may well have been blessed greatly with finances and material wealth. And there is absolutely nothing wrong in expressing that generosity in financial giving, whether that's giving to the church or giving to charities or giving to individuals. But apart from maybe putting something on that sponsorship form from a coworker who's doing a charity run next Sunday, how do we express generosity in our workplace? How do we live out the generous lifestyle that Proverbs is encouraging us to do? Well, I think the first thing to do is notice that Proverbs itself sees generosity at play at work. Did you notice that in verse 26 of chapter 11? Look down with me. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. I wonder if that's what you expected. You might read that and think, oh, okay, people curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to give. Now, you can find Proverbs, and you can find other passages of the Bible that say giving is good. Giving to those in need is a right thing to do. But actually, generosity in selling is important too. That it's not just giving everything away and never actually doing business. Generosity can be seen not only in exercising charity, but also in exercising fair business practices and honest pricing. But as individuals in a workplace, we have the opportunity to express generosity in more than just our financial dealing. The Harvard Business Review published an article a few years ago about this very subject of being generous at work. And they concluded that generous people share information readily, share credit often, and give of their time and expertise easily. Now, I have no idea whether the people that they were looking at in terms of that article were Christians or not, but whether or not they were acting in a way that reflected the character of a generous God. People who aren't Christians can act generously, but if we are Christians, we should certainly pursue generosity and choose actively to act in this way. So what could that mean for us as we bring things to a close? Well, I think it means being generous, first of all, with our time. It's a difficult and contentious area, time, in London, where more and more is demanded of our time by our employers. Maybe you're feeling that at the moment. How on earth can I be generous with my time when my boss wants me to be here every moment I've got already? There's no more time to give. And I think it is right, it's just to push back against that kind of culture and value time off and rest. That's a biblical idea too. But I think there's a difference between time demanded and time freely given. And how distinctive would you appear if you are not required to stay a little later to help with a project, but you choose to? To be generous, not only with time given to the company, but time given to conversations with colleagues. Time to enhance your work environment. Time for others. We can be generous with our time at work. We can also be generous with our attention at work. We live in a world and a culture that has so many things clamoring for our attention every minute of the day. That's true of the work environment, isn't it? As much as anywhere else. From projects and to-do lists, to emails, to messages, phone calls, notifications, there seems to be something binging or pinging all the time. And as much as you turn some things onto silent, you can hear other people's binging and pinging as well. Yeah, we can be pulled in 50 different directions at once. So being generous with your attention will not only be surprising and distinctive as a Christian, but I will think you'll find it will be immensely valued as well. So whether that's putting your phone away during a meeting to give it your full attention, you've all been there. The meetings, the phone comes out, and you know people are listening, but they're doing emails or they're doing text messages at the same time. We know that we can't pay attention to two things at the same time, however much we'd love to. So whether it's putting your phone away during a meeting or just simply paying attention to a coworker as they explain the issue that's on their mind, whether that's a personal issue or a professional one. Or it might just be the attention that you give to a piece of work, being generous with focus and attention to detail. We can be generous with our attention. We can be generous also with credit. And I don't mean financial credit. I mean credit where credit is due. I think that's a very countercultural aspect of generosity in the workplace. It is so easy to take credit for other people's work. We never do it sort of explicitly like that, but you know, to claim something is entirely your own when others have contributed to it. Oh, it may be a particular point or a particular thing, but maybe you never acknowledge that to your boss and you never say thank you to the person who's contributed it. We can be generous in acknowledging work done and help given. We can give credit to those who have done good work, and we can be generous in building up other people's reputation as well as our own. We can be generous with credit. But all of this is really just getting a generosity of spirit. Yeah, we could go on and on with examples, and I would encourage you perhaps to share examples and ideas with one another about how you can express this kind of biblical generosity in your own workplaces. But you see, the idea is not to have a tick list of generous things to do. As long as I've done 5 generous things that are on this list today, then I've been generous. To do that would be to miss the point entirely. What God wants, what Proverbs is encouraging us towards, is to have a spirit that leans towards generosity at all times, whether we're in the workplace or at the home or wherever we are. To have, by God's grace and the work of His Spirit, a generous spirit that builds generosity into our everyday lives. And that is because we have a generous God who has been abundantly generous to us. So we want to live for Him, reflecting His character in our lives and drawing others to know His amazing generosity for themselves. So let me pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are indeed a generous God. We thank You for the generosity that You have given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the spiritual blessings that You have given to us that are safe and secure. And so please help us to use the material blessings that You give to us, not to hoard for ourselves, but to be generous to others. Give us a spirit of generosity that allows us to be generous in every way possible, because we want to live for You, our wonderful and generous God. Amen.